Hello and welcome to this week's Innovation Forum Briefing. I'm Ian Welsh. We're slightly changing the format of the Monday briefing for the next few weeks. It's a busy time for the Innovation Forum team with our conference season and webinar series running through to the end of June. The briefing will be where we'll have all the detail of what's coming up and who's involved. Innovation Forum will be back in Amsterdam on the 14th and 15th of May for this year's Future of Food EU conference. To find out about how the event is coming together and what to expect across the 2 days, I spoke with my colleague Hannah O'Byrne.
It's going really well. So we have over 60 speakers confirmed from the likes of Nestle, Kellogg Company, Yum Brands, Danone, Aldi South, Sainsbury's, JDE Peet's and many more. So it's a really exciting range of speakers.
Any sessions that you're looking forward to in particular?
There are lots I could mention, but to pick a couple, on day one, we'll be running a plenary titled From Commitments to Action, asking what does a credible climate action plan look like in the short, medium and long term? So on this panel, we will have Mario Abreu, head of Group CSR and Sustainability at Ferrero, and Grant Sprick, VP of Climate and Environment at Ahold Delhaize.
What are you hoping to get from this session?
So really, we'll be looking to establish the key milestones in a credible climate action plan. So it's not just about setting the long-term goals for 2030 or 2050 that feel far away and in a sense more comfortable. It's about tackling the smaller steps in the short and medium term.
Yeah, it's a big change, isn't it, for companies? They really are seeing that to reach the long-term goals, they can't just set them and leave them there. They have to be establishing short-term goals and reach them for the long-term goals to become reality. What areas will this session be covering in particular?
As the panel will consist of a leading brand and a leading retailer, it'll be really great to see what a credible climate action plan looks like at slightly different stages in the supply chain. It'll also be interesting to see how these leading companies are benchmarking to really ensure they're on track for these longer term targets.
Do you have any other sessions that you're looking forward to in particular?
Another session is titled An Action Plan for Biodiversity, in-depth case studies into the practical steps business can take to protect and promote biodiversity. And this will feature Sandrine Ricard, Deputy Director of Sustainability and Responsibility at Shivers Brothers, and Florian Trohey, CSR Manager at Yoplait.
What will this session consist of?
It will take the format of 2 consecutive case studies. So both Sandrine and Florian will present their case and really define the practical steps that they are taking to prioritise biodiversity within their climate action plans. It will be really great to see how these action plans differ between different food and beverage sectors, as we'll have Shivers Brothers, a whiskey company, and Yoplait, who are a cooperative-owned dairy brand.
What particular questions do you think that the panellists will be keen to answer?
We're really looking to gain some tangible and practical insights, what's currently working, but also what might not be working so well. It's also important to assess how these action plans are translating through the respective supply chains. So it's also about asking what impact this has on the farmers and suppliers on the ground.
All right, some really exciting sessions to come at the event then. How can everyone get involved?
The agenda is now pretty packed, but there's still time to join the conference as an attendee. Our final discount deadline is this Friday, the 12th of April. So book now to secure your €200 discount on your conference pass. To make the most of the plenary sessions, breakouts and networking opportunities, we also recommend bringing along your colleagues. So please feel free to reach out if you are interested in making a group booking and we can offer an additional discount. My email is hannah.oborne@innovationforum.co.uk if you would like to get in touch.
All the details on the Innovation Forum website as ever, but as Hannah says, now is a great time to reserve your place. Hannah, looking forward to the event very much.
Thanks, Ian.
The Innovation Forum weekly podcast is going to be a bumper episode this week, including interviews with Niamh McCartney, Director of Climate-Related Risk at Climate Advisors, talking about a new report on the Brazilian cattle sector from Orbitas. Here's a quick extract by way of a preview. I asked Niamh to outline some of the headline conclusions in the report.
So the biggest takeaway from our research is that the future of the Brazilian cattle sector will look very different from the past. As the physical impacts of climate change intensify, climate transitions will accelerate and introduce disruptive and sector-wide risks, but they can also create significant opportunities. And these are opportunities that producers, supply chain companies, and investors can all capitalize on. So for example, a future with climate transitions could lead to lower overall production output and a higher reduction in available pasture land. But it could also lead to a significant increase in yields and producer prices. We found that those that prioritize sustainable efficiency improvements and diversify revenue streams can build resilience and reduce the likelihood of financial losses. But for low efficiency producers, and especially those reliant on land use conversion for growth within their business models, they may need to consider other agricultural activities and revenue streams. And one final thing that I'll note here is that we found the potential for mobilizing significant capital investments for the sustainable technology and practices that really could transform the cattle sector, and also investments in other agricultural activities, which present major opportunities for those who are proactive.
Also coming up this week are Amanda Archia, Executive Director for Fair Trade America, and Anna Mann, Associate Director for Responsible Business at the Fair Trade Foundation. Here's a quick preview from when I asked them both for some thoughts on the gap between price and value in supply chains. You'll hear from Amanda first.
Pricing has certainly long been disconnected from the value of products that we certainly work in at Fairtrade, like coffee, cocoa, bananas. This sort of restless search for ever cheaper prices has pretty systemically overlooked the people and communities, folks who depend on them. And this race for quickest profits has really turned the trade of products into a much bigger game of chance. And the highest earnings tend to go to people that are much further down the supply chain than those farmers and workers. And what are the drivers of that? I mean, certainly one of the biggest is the imbalance of power in trading negotiations that we've seen for generations in a lot of these commodities, and a real failure to consider critical costs, costs of sustainable production, an insufficient risk assessment of economic, social, environmental considerations. You know, and you mentioned kind of pricing pressures off the top. And if you look at the root cause of some of those pressure points, whether it be inputs, whether it be logistics and supply chain, whether it be packaging, a lot of those are driven by a long-term failure to capture some of those economic, social, and environmental challenges, whether that be on labor costs, whether that be on climate change and climate resilience. And so we really have to come together and recognize that those costs simply have not been factored in for quite some time. The current system of commodity trade just really isn't built in a way that honors that labor, that expertise, those production inputs of smallholder farmers. And interestingly, we're actually seeing at this very moment a particularly notable example, the inevitable buildup that happens when we undervalue. And that's in cocoa pricing right now. So you see this drastic increase in price in the cocoa sector, certainly exacerbated by a lot of this additional market activity we're seeing, but the root cause primarily driven by a drop in supply, which is triggered by crop loss due to disease, climate change, long-time increase in cost of productions, and the impact of crippling inflation on farmers themselves. Those years, decades, generations of undervaluing and underinvesting in cocoa farmers has led to this. That's a particularly prime example of how differentiated value and price has been for quite some time and the real impacts that we are now facing across society.
It's inevitable, perhaps, when you have the wrong sort of incentives in the value chain that don't, in this instance, allow for or promote the long-term investment that is necessary. Anna, do you have anything to add to that point?
I agree with everything Commander's just said, and I think it is really acute at the moment. What's happening in the cocoa market has really brought that to life, but it's true across so many of the products that we work with that inflation is a global phenomenon and it's incredibly high, and it has been high for a few years, particularly thinking about producers coming out of COVID and the additional costs that they faced during COVID-19 in terms of labor and additional inputs, and so many supply chains broke down at that time. Then into global inflation driven by lots of the geopolitical events that we've seen. And on top of that is climate change. And yet, whilst obviously there are inflation associated with products that we buy, the disconnect between the cost of production and what a shopper will pay for a product is really, really stark. And I think this problem with undervaluing is only going to make all of the current challenges so much worse into the future.
Listen out Thursday for the full interviews in this week's podcast. We're delighted that Fairtrade Foundation and Fairtrade America are our knowledge partners across the two future food events in Amsterdam and Minneapolis in the coming weeks. Don't forget that now is a great time to confirm attendance in Amsterdam in particular, as there is a €200 discount on passes that expires on Friday, 12th of April. But that's it for now. I've been Ian Welsh, and goodbye.